Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Tech. I'm Stephen Jolly, and great to have you with us wherever you're listening, maybe through Vision Australia Radio and associated stations of RPH Australia, the Community Radio Network, or via our podcast. Just search for Talking Tech from your favourite podcatcher, and you can get it coming down then every week. As always, Vision Australia Senior Adaptive Technology David Woodbridge is on the line from the central coast of New South Wales. I'm in Melbourne. David, we've got something a little different this week.
We have, actually, and this is something that I've been wanting to do for a long time, and we sort of did this together a little bit. I actually did the introduction to what we might as well say now is the voice of Siri, and if you live in Australia, the voice of VoiceOver. So I did a bit of an introduction to let you hear what the current Australian voice sounds like. And then you, Stephen, actually did a really great interview with Karen Jacobson herself, which is the source of the Siri Karen Australian voice, down in Melbourne a few weeks ago.
It was a real treat, and I hope that people enjoy hearing what we've put together. So let's start with a bit of your nice editing, David.
Hi, in case you didn't realise, this is me, Siri, using my Australian voice, Karen. I'm the personal assistant found on the iPhone, iPod, iPad, Apple TV, and the Apple Watch, and in late 2016, I'll be also on the Mac. My voice is also used by the screen reader, VoiceOver, found on the previously mentioned products from Apple. Oh, and I should admit that my voice is also used in other electronic devices, such as GPS systems. A few weeks ago, Stephen did an interview with an absolutely charming lady whom I'm 100% sure you'll recognize. So without any further ado, let me hand it back to Stephen to introduce me, Woods, our guest. I mean his guest.
Karen Jacobson, GPS girl, the voice of Siri, but for many, many of our Talking Tech listeners, of course, you are the voice of VoiceOver. A very warm welcome.
It's wonderful to be here and to meet you.
Now, we'll talk about your technology world or your presence in the technology world very soon, but can we go right back to the start? Karen, the Australian voice, that's because you are Australian. You grew up in Mackay in North Queensland.
I did. I grew up in Mackay in North Queensland, and when I was 7 years of age, I saw Olivia Newton-John on TV and my life changed. I knew I wanted to be a professional singer and move to America. I was very inspired by Melbourne's own Olivia Newton-John.
And your venture into music started early? You were writing songs early?
I was. From about that same age, from the age of 7, I had melodies and lyrics come into my mind and I knew they were very important and I had to find a way of writing them down.
So you went to the Queensland Conservatorium of Music, where you got your qualification, and then was it to Sydney?
Yeah, I spent a few years in Brisbane studying at the Con and then working as a professional musician. I was fortunate to have some doors open for me very early in the piece, singing jingles and in recording studios, and also playing in piano bars, playing piano and singing, and I would put in my original songs in between cover versions of other songs. And it wasn't until 1991 when I moved to Sydney and started to build my business there.
In 2000, July the 4th, in fact, you went to New York.
I love how you pay attention. I consider that my personal day of independence.
Now, that's a long way from Mackay. How did all that happen?
Again, Olivia was a huge inspiration. I saw this blonde Australian singer who had gone to America and was embraced. Everybody loved her there, and I wanted to be just like her. And so that was always in the back of my mind. And after 10 years in Sydney, building my career there, singing, you know, you couldn't turn the radio or the TV on in the 1990s without hearing my speaking voice or my singing voice on commercials. And I'd released my first albums in Sydney before it was even that popular to be an independent artist. And I would actually come down to Melbourne and perform regularly on Good Morning Australia. And I knew, though, in the back of my mind that I still hadn't made that move that was always a big piece of my dream, which was to live in America.
You shared the stage with Christopher Cross, Neil Sedaka, Nora Jones, Cyndi Lauper. Discuss.
Oh my goodness. To be able to be on the same bill as people who you grew up being a huge, you know, being hugely inspired by is really something amazing. And I think Neil Sedaka was a very big one for me because I mean, he's just such an iconic figure and songwriter and creative person. And when I performed doing an opening set for him at the Ridgefield Playhouse in Connecticut, my parents happened to be visiting, and so they were in the audience, and there was a grand piano on the stage and a microphone, and I was at that grand piano for the opening set, and then Neil Sedaka was at that grand piano for his set. So that was really something very special.
2002, they captured your voice. What happened?
I found out that there was a client looking for a native Australian female voiceover artist living in the northeast of the United States. I read that brief. I thought, well, that's a description of me. This job must be mine. So I went to the audition. I got the job. And I ended up recording for 50 hours over a three-week period to create a text-to-speech voice system that has now ended up in over 400 million GPS, smartphone, elevator, all kinds of devices around the world.
And we hasten to add Apple's voiceover.
Apple's voiceover!
So tell us about that process. I'm sure a lot of people would be very interested in that, how your voice came to be recorded in so many different ways to be able to use it to generate the speech.
They broke it down into 4-hour sessions. So I recorded a maximum of 4 hours a day. They did not want my voice to sound fatigued or tired in any way. And so from 9 till 1, I would record a combination of different words or phrases. And then at 1 o'clock, I would go to lunch and relax back in my hotel room, writing songs and resting my voice so that it was rested for the next day. And we did that for 3 weeks. And what they really wanted to capture, here's the technical part, you ready? Mm. They wanted to capture every combination of syllables possible so they could chop that up and create a voice system based on my speaking voice.
Must have been very demanding.
You know, it was. It was quite a mental an exercise in focus, because you start to say a word or a series of words and you say them slightly differently, repeatedly. It can play tricks on the brain. I mean, there was one voice system I was doing, and I had to say the word approximately 168 times in a row, because you know approximately 200 meters in approximately 300 meters in approximately 400 meters. By the time you've done that about 10 times, not only is my brain playing tricks on me, but also the producer and audio engineer. So it takes quite an amount of focus, a little bit more than might be expected.
So were you thinking GPS when you were doing this, because smartphones were still years away?
Right. Well, I wasn't necessarily. I was being told that it's going to be used in some systems we have coming. That's why we have some of these directions. But GPS was not even mainstream at that point. GPS was a military-only phenomenon. So I knew it was going to be used for a number of unknown uses, and that's all I knew.
Have you had much feedback from members of the blindness and low vision usage community, shall we say,
yes,
around the world?
Stephen, I have, and I was blown away when I first became aware of this. And there is a community in the UK of voiceover users who seeked me out and found me through social media and said, hey, everything I do in a day, every email I read, every text message, every Google search, everything is your voice. You're with me all the time. You're my constant companion. And I was so excited to hear about this. And then through this community, there is a radio station. They started to discover my music and play it on the radio station. And I've been interviewed a number of times and just feel so so honoured to be embraced and included by this community.
Well, it's nice to have you in Australia today, and the community of Vision Australia are able to acknowledge the great contribution you make to our daily lives, really, through use of your voice. What's actually brought you here? What are you doing with Vision Australia?
What I'm doing is I'm speaking today at the National Staff Conference for Vision Australia. I think over 800 people across the whole country, both from 28 different locations, are coming together to three locations, and it's a very big undertaking to be able to connect everybody, thankfully, with technology. I'm here in Melbourne presenting live for 400, but then for the whole of Australia, we'll all be linked up.
Karen Jacobson, from musician, entertainer, to the GPS girl, the voice of Siri, a motivational speaker, and voiceover herself. It's been great having you with us on Talking Tech today. People will have really appreciated it.
Stephen, you have reached your destination. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Karen. And Stephen, as I said in my intro, great lady and a great voice. And now, as they say, on with the show.
Karen Jacobson. Now, David, take us through the history of voice synthesis, because it goes back 40 years or so now, doesn't it?
It does, actually. The first synthesizer that I became aware of, was in the mid-70s, and it was the DeckTalk Classic back in those days. And that was a very clear-sounding synthesizer. I even don't even mind that speech even today with the Access 32 software that we used to have hanging around about 5 or 6 years ago. But basically, it was the DeckTalk. And then in the 80s, we had, of course, the Echo Speech Synthesizer, which I don't know how I actually managed to listen to. And then in the 90s, we had this huge range of different types of synthesizers. We had external plug-in ones. We had ones that you used to put inside the computer. But one of the external ones, which was a note taker, which I still remember quite fondly, was the Eureka A4. And that was like a Braille type device that you could do word processing on and so on. And it had the most bad sounding voice I've ever listened to, but some people loved it. And then in the 2000s and up until now, we really started switching over to, and this is probably what we use today, is the software synthesizers. So people might remember that in about 2005, if you were a Mac user, then you would have had the different voices for the Mac, of course, with the Alex voice, which is still the only voice on the market that actually breathes when it's talking. No other one actually does that. And then, of course, with the introduction of iOS and Apple bringing in more and more voices, yes, but later on we had Alex voice on iOS. But then, of course, as of our interview today, we had the Karen voice on iOS and, of course, on the Mac. And because it's a general voice synthesizer, you can get it on all different products now, whether it's hardware, software, mainstream, specialized. It's basically voices are everywhere and anywhere these days. But I'll just leave you with one little final note. My original voice synthesizer that I used to use at Macquarie Uni when I did a computer science degree, when I used to turn it on, it used to say error 7. And until this day, I can't remember or even work out what the Votrax synthesizer meant by error 7.
My first exposure to synthesized voice was a talking calculator made by a company called Telesensory Systems Incorporated. They also made the Opticon, for those who might know. And that was back around 1976, I first heard that. Never realized what was going to be ahead. Before we go, a reminder of where people can find show notes of this program and past editions.
Indeed, as always, my show notes are on my blog site, which is http://davidwoodbridge.blogspot.com.au.
davidwoodbridge.blogspot.com.au. This has been Talking Tech. I'm Stephen Jolly. With me has been Vision Australia Senior Adaptive Technology Consultant David Woodbridge. We'll talk more next week.